Pray with me. God, thank you for this day, for an opportunity to gather with friends and people we don't know, with brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship you and to be together with people who want to focus on you. Lord, I pray that you continue to be with us now. As you have been with us in prayer and song, be with us in word and giving of ourselves to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to check out that picture. That shot was taken last weekend at the wildlife middle school craziness weekend at Lake Champion. Now, somewhere in that crowd are half a dozen or so of our own PCOG family, as kids from this entire region came. Wildlife and Young Life are one of the ministries that we support, and it brings kids together in a way that allows them to be kids and in a way that they can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. So if you have young children in the middle school ages, or you have friends who have young kids in that age, there's a wildlife program in town. If you have high schoolers, there's a Young Life program in town, in Stanford, and in other communities around here. So it's just great to celebrate that. And if you'd like to know more about those programs, I know the Cuellar kids go to them, the Crimmins kids, the Howards, and the Young Life leader, Kevin Chow, is part of our family. So, just a little fun plug. We've been on this series where we've been talking about some of the questions that you have raised and asked me to address. We'll take a pause from these as we go through, you know, Palm Sunday and Holy Week services, and we'll resume the series back in April. If there are questions that you have, things happening in the world, things that you hear, like I say, around the water cooler or at break time, and you want to think about them biblically, how might God address those issues? Please feel free to send me an email or drop me a written note and say, here's my question. Would you consider addressing that one Sunday morning? And I'd be happy to do that. This morning, I stand before you believing that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God of the Scriptures that we read and attend to, is in control. No matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter what you read about in the headlines, whether they're world or national headlines, no matter how you feel, and if you think, wow, things are just unraveling with this crazy violence going on, or whatever it might be, I declare to you that God is still in control. When I see some of the hatred portrayed in the news, when I see the ugliness that human beings can portray against others and the violence against people of faith, and particularly brothers and sisters of the Christian faith, but I mean, really, that doesn't matter to me. When I see what people can do to others of faith, I admit that there are times when I wonder why God allows this. And I know doubts can rise. Is God really in control? Or are we like one of those tops which is just now spinning out of control? And even though doubts rise at times in me, and I'm going to guess in you, I'm here to say that in the depth of my being, there is not an atom that does not believe God is in control. Even when bad things happen, even when I don't understand what's going on in my life or the world around me, I hold on to that truth that God is in control. Over the last weeks, we've been talking about some tough issues. And I know people have expressed to me concerns. What is happening in our world? And I believe God is grieved and saddened and angry about many of the things we can see in the internet headlines. But never once has God woken up one day and said, "Whoa, I didn't expect that to happen. Wow, that one took me by surprise." That has never happened to God. And though we may not understand what's going on, God remains in control. Amen. His will not be thwarted. His victory and His ultimate restoration of all things is assured to come in His time. And that, friends, is a guarantee of His Word. And I say that with assurance because I've read the book. The book that opens with a simple sentence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first three words of the Hebrew Bible is that first line. In the beginning, God created. Now just let that thought sink for a moment. If in the beginning God created, that means God already was. And if God already was, and God brought everything that we see around us into creation, why would we think there comes a point where He lost control? See, in the beginning, God. And that really says it all. This book begins with God. It ends with God judging and destroying evil and recreating a new heaven and a new earth that will never again be tainted by sin or ugliness or badness. And in the middle, between those two great poles, we see God Himself as the center of life and the source of life for all things. God is at the start, God is at the conclusion, and God is throughout the middle. In the beginning, God. I want to paint a big picture for you of God being in control, and then I want to paint a personal picture that God's in control no matter where you are in life. To paint the big picture, I've stopped at a couple of New Testament texts that convey the sovereignty, the wonder, the amazement of God. And the first is in Colossians, and Paul is writing about Jesus. And he writes these words, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities." In other words, everything. All things have been created through Him and are for Him. He is before all things. And in Him, get this line, in Him all things hold together. That is the picture of control. Not only did God create all things, but in God, in Jesus, all things hold together. Not some things, not a few things. Not occasionally God holds things together. But in Him, all things hold together. In Romans, there's another line I want to point to, but I want to explain to you where this is in the book of Romans. It comes at the end of chapter 11. But there's a couple things about the book of Romans that's important to understand. Romans is 16 chapters long, and it's really divided into two sections. The first section is Romans chapter 1 through 11. And that explains the things of God. God talks about how the world has moved into corruption, how God sent Jesus, how Jesus is the one who has paid for our price. And Paul outlines in incredible detail the gospel of Jesus Christ in chapters 1 through 11. And then in chapter 12, he shifts. And the shift becomes the focus not on what God has done, but on what we who follow God are supposed to do in light of the fact of what God has done. So the first part is teaching about God. The second part, chapters 12 through 16, are how do we live if we're going to be in God? And right at that change, Paul puts these words. It's kind of a prayer that concludes his teaching about God before he breaks into the, so what are you supposed to do? And Paul writes, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths are beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." And again, just hear that line I put in yellow. From him, through him, and for him are all things. Paul is singing of the God who is in control, who is the source behind all things, and who is working them out to his end and his glory and his coming again in his time. Folks, God is in control. The Lord is working things out so that his name can be spread around this world, so that his people can know his presence in times of trial. Earthly perspectives do not always match the work of God behind the scenes and in the heavenlies. God is doing things in the chaos of our world that is furthering his agenda, his rule, and his reign in our world. Did you know that there is a growing hunger for God of the scriptures in the Muslim land of Iran? When I went out to the national convention for the denomination we're going to join, ECO, one of the speakers was a reverend doctor. And I don't remember his name, but I wouldn't give it anyway. All of the talks were videoed, but he asked that his not be put on the web in any way because he grew up as a Muslim in Iran. About my age, or a little younger maybe, and Iran was in turmoil as he was hitting his teen years, and his parents sent him away from the country for safety. They didn't realize it, but the place they sent him was a Baptist boarding school. And over the course of what we would call high school, he was challenged with faith perspectives he didn't know existed in this world. And it was a long journey for him, but the journey culminated in him leaving Islam and becoming a Christian. And since that time, he has done multiple degrees and is, like I said, a reverend doctor now. He is not allowed to go back to Iran, but God is in control. Did you know that in Iran, you are not allowed to have satellite TV? You know, you can't have a satellite dish at your house. Did you know that? Do you also know that about 30% of Iranians have satellite dishes? And what this person does, and he's one of many, is he actually leads house churches from a studio somewhere in the U.S. Weekly, he broadcasts into Iran church. And they have this little stage set up, and it looks like a house, and he talks as if he's pastor. And he's got hundreds of little communities who watch him every week. And he's not the only one doing these things. And here's what he said. Less than 10% of Iranians attend mosque weekly. And he said the reason, or at least one of the main reasons, is because they are watching this radical fundamentalist sect take over Islam. And they are disheartened that that is the goal of the faith they believed in. And they are saying there has to be more. That can't be the end of what we're supposed to become. And he said, there has never been a time more ripe for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the land of Iran than right now. And then he said, please don't stop praying. Because God wants to break that stronghold and bring faith into that country. We see the terrible violence, and he admitted the pain of that violence, and he had to flee partly because of that violence. And that violence is horrible. But under the surface, God is working in a way that we could never have imagined to break through that stronghold and bring the gospel. God is in control. Did you know that the gospel is booming in China? For what? 50 plus years, the communist regime tried to clamp down on the church. It drove the church underground where God hardened the faithful. I mean, you aren't going to be a casual Christian in China during the heart of the communist regime. And those people who have been there now for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years, and those who have grown up into that church now have a hunger for Jesus that has been hardened by the gospel. And reliable people that I spoke to again on that weekend, like the Outreach Foundation and others, report that there are 10,000 people a day coming to Jesus Christ through the house church movement in China. 10,000 a day. And they have a passion to reach out with the name of Jesus. And what's happening is in this church movement that they are beginning now to send out what we would call missionaries, people with the message of Jesus. And their view is to go from China west. They have to go west. Coming our way with missionaries. Even as we here and Christians in Europe are sending missionaries east. And the hope is that the world will be covered by these who are sharing Jesus. God is in control. Even though things looked horrible there, it looked like maybe the church was going to be crushed out of existence. In fact, it grew. And now those seeds are bearing much fruit, like Jesus' story. They're now in a season where they're getting the 30, 60, and 100-fold multiplication of the gospel. We've talked last December about the slavery issue in our world. And you know, some of you took part in December and things like that. Did you know that last week, International Justice Mission, connected with the police of India, broke and rescued 564 children, women, and men from a forced slavery labor camp, the largest rescue in history to date. And not only did they rescue those people, but they have closed down that operation because they caught the five leaders who in years past had been able to pay off and have impunity. But India has changed their laws and they're enforcing these anti-slavery rules. God is in control. One more big picture. Did you know that 11 of the countries in this world that have the fastest growing Christian population are also listed among the countries where there is the worst persecution of Christians? Earthly perspectives do not always match God's work in the heavenlies. God is in control. I don't understand why terrorist organizations are allowed to flourish, but if that's a way to break into the heart of Islam, where people are seeing that's not what we believe our faith meant, God, show us the real way, and that opens the door to the faith really getting in there, then God is in control. So I repeat, earthly perspectives do not always match what God is doing in the heavens. God is not out of business. He is very much in business, working to spread His name, His gospel, around this world. That's the big picture in our world today, folks. But there's also a personal picture. God is not only interested in His global advance, His kingdom growing. God is concerned about you and me and everyone who is part of His family. Do you love the Lord? If so, I have a promise to read to you. It's the last part of Romans chapter 8. You can follow along on the screens. You may want to simply close your eyes and listen to what God says to us through the pen of Paul. He begins, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us." Just get that picture for a moment. Jesus Christ, in His risen body, is before God right now praying for you. He is on His knees interceding for you and all your brothers and sisters. He is interceding for those who are being oppressed in Syria right now. He is interceding for those who were oppressed for decades in China, and now they are bursting forth in the glory of God. It continues, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. If you love God, God is working for good in your life. Now, I know it doesn't always feel that way. And yet, I have absolute, complete confidence that God is working for your good. 15 years ago, my life was dismantled. I've told you parts of the story. A forced resignation threw my life into complete disarray. False rumors were spread about me that I was having an affair and that's why I was kicked out of the church and blah, blah, blah. An elder looked me in the eye as he was shaking my hand and said, "Well, maybe now you can find a profession, you know, God wants you to be in." That was his final word to me. I mean, I didn't receive that word, but I was at a time in my life when I was crushed. But I held tightly to God. Sometimes it felt kind of like a little string that was going to break. But all I knew what to do was to hold on to the Lord. And through that pain, and through real deep reflection, through healing work, through others who helped me, God rebuilt my life. God strengthened my faith and my family. God taught me what forgiveness was all about. And God developed new qualities in my life. During that period, I was literally stripped of my faith family. Part of my resignation agreement is I could have no contact with anyone who was a part of that church family. I had been in a small group with people who had left that church, and I was told I couldn't continue in that group because they had been part of that church sometime in the past. I was literally stripped of my church family. I don't have nice words to say. It was a crappy time. It was ugly. It was nerve-wracking. And the people that I would go to and pray with and just, you know, have a cup of coffee with were taken away. And there were times in the midst of that gale that I didn't know if I would make it through. There were times I felt like curling up into a ball and just, you know, rolling like one of those dust bunnies under a bed somewhere, never to be seen, and maybe just to be scooped up and discarded. But those days are past. God did His work. I would not want to go through that time or a time like it again, but I would not trade one moment of that time, knowing what God has done in my life now. I couldn't have said that then, but I can absolutely say that now. I know that God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The world would look at that time and say it was horrible, and it was. But what God did in me as a person and as a human being was worth every second. And like Paul, I am now convinced that nothing in this world, nothing the devil can throw at us, nothing that a human body which is frail and broken and can fall apart can do to us, is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, I'm sure there are some people here who are in various levels of turbulence. It hits all of us at some time. And my first and main question to you is, do you love the Lord? And the reason I ask that is because if you love the Lord, then the promise of Romans 8 is yours. That if you love God, He is working in you. I don't know what He's doing. I don't know what He's going to build within you. I don't know what He has to chop off and cut out. But I can tell you, God is working in you. And I say, hang in there. Grab that thread, however thin it might seem, because God's doing something in your life. Call me if you need an ear. You know, one thing going through that has taught me is that you need people. And I'm willing to be one of those people. One of the things that was a real salvation for my wife and me was when a pastor friend of another church across town called and said, we know what you're going through, or have an idea what you're going through, and we want to pray with you. So our elders have agreed to meet with you and just pray for you and your family. Let us know when you can come. And we chose not to have our children go, just my wife and I went. And I had about, dozen elders and a couple pastor friends sit around us, and for about 5 minutes, they just said, how can we pray? You know, don't pour out your whole story. Just what do you need? And then these elders laid hands on us and prayed for us. And what that did for Susan and I when we were cut off from a faith family is beyond words. So if you need an ear, call me. If you need a place to pray, our prayer teams or our elders will be there for you. I'll make sure that happens. Reach out to a brother or sister. Because if you love God, then God is working in your life. And nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So I stand before you this morning and I declare, God is in control. No matter what's going on in your life, what you are going through right now personally, or how you may feel because of what you see going on in the world or your community or your business or whatever, God is in control. Trust Him to work good in your life. Trust Him right now. Trust Him to be spreading His name throughout this globe, even though we don't know how or why. Trust Him because He is in control. And there's never been a moment when He wasn't. Folks, I pray you know Jesus Christ, because He is that thread we can hold on to. And if you have a question as to whether you believe or not, I invite you again to pause with me and pray, to talk with me or one of the prayer team people after the service, so that you can have a sense of assurance that you are walking with God, because when you are, these promises are yours. Put your name in the Bible, scribble it above the us's in that passage if you need to, because that's the Word of God. Let's pray. God, we pause and we acknowledge that You are God. You created everything. And everything was created for You, and You hold everything together. If You were to step out of our world, it would completely spin out of control. And Father, I believe all of us in this room want that promise that You are working for good in us. And that promise is ours if we believe in Jesus. Lord, if there is somebody here who's not sure they've taken that step of faith, I pray You would be with them right now and give them the strength to simply pray, I believe in You, Jesus, from the depths of their heart. You can flesh out that understanding as You work in them, but it's that simple prayer of faith, I believe in Jesus. May we all pray that today and every day we wake, I believe in Jesus. In His name, I pray. Amen.